Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. It's your host, Pastor Paul White. Great to have you with me. No matter what format you're listening on, good for you to be with us 15 minutes every day this week. No delay. Let's jump right into the message. We'll do so every day this week. This is from a Wednesday night called Living the Spirit-Filled Life. I want to talk to you about living that Spirit-Filled life, what it means to be Spirit-Filled. Is every believer Spirit-Filled? Is every believer baptized with the Holy Spirit? Can every believer pray with other tongues? And not just to talk about what tradition might say, and not just to talk about what our churches might have taught us or our preachers might have taught us. But let's do our very best tonight to dig into the Word and get answers straight from the Word of God, okay? When we do that, then you can walk away and disagree. But if we've laid enough foundation of the Word, then your disagreement must be with Scripture, okay? If we get up and talk about what our forefathers taught, you can walk away and disagree, and you're disagreeing with man and you have an argument. Okay, so what our forefathers taught, or what I teach, or what any church teaches, doesn't matter. If together we can find it in the Word of God, we've got something to stand on. And then all of our argument comes against the Word, okay? So let's dig in tonight and find out what it means to live the Spirit-filled life. We start from the very beginning, because this is what happened the day you got saved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. In whom you also trusted. The who is the Christ of verse 12. We trusted in Christ, verse 12, 13. In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Love the phrase here. You don't see this very often. The gospel of your salvation. What's gospel mean? Good news. So, Paul says, the good news of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Notice that after you believed on Jesus, step two of your salvation was to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Though there's no insinuation in this verse that it's a second work of God. It's all one work, but it is triggered by your faith. Let's see it again. You trusted the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And obviously that Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. And we know that every one of us, the moment that we gave our hearts to Christ, the Holy Spirit entered in. Jesus promised, I'm going to go away. I'm going to send to you another comforter, which means Jesus was your first comforter. The Holy Spirit is your second comforter. Who do you meet first? You meet Jesus Christ, and you accept Christ as your Savior by faith. Christianity becomes a by faith relationship, not a by works religion. A by faith relationship. You say, Christ, Father, I don't care how you pray it. There's a million ways to pray it. Lord, come into my heart. Jesus, save me. Father, forgive me. Whatever it was you said it with faith when you did. Here's what happened next. Then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit entered into your life. He can't come in by other than by faith. He must come in by permission. He came in by your faith, and He sealed you. And the reference here in sealing you is that He literally wrapped you up with a sealant to where nothing inside could escape. And nothing on the outside could taint the inside. And that's great news. That means that the Holy Spirit, like a protective bubble around your heart, is making sure that whatever Christ has poured in can't leak out. And whatever the world shoots at you can't get in. So that's good news for all believers, because we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which means that He promises to never leave us or forsake us. He promises to be good to us always. He promises to remember our sins and iniquities no more. All those promises. New covenant of promise. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. So all the good stuff we say amen to, all the good stuff we say yes to, is in Christ, but not just in Christ. Now it's in you, and it's not going to sneak out because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Praise God. Now that's your current standing. If every person in this room that is a believer, that has accepted Christ as your Savior, your current standing is that you are sealed. However, we don't all do too well with the sealing that happens in our heart. Some people receive Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in and seals their life. And then they live kind of shameful. They live in a way that doesn't really represent the Lord very well. Maybe through their words or their deeds or their actions. I didn't say they're not righteous. I didn't say they're not saved. I said that they're not representing the Father very well with their actions. I think we all got to admit that we know some believers that way. We're not doubting that they're believers. They accepted Christ the same way that you did. They accepted Christ the same way that I did. The Holy Spirit isn't preferential in saying to you, I'll come into your heart, and but whenever they do this, I'll leave them. No. Thank God you know I'll never leave and forsake you. So thank God you know I'll never leave and forsake them. Now we got a lot of sheep rolling around in the mud hole like they did when they were a pig. But they're not a pig anymore. They're a lamb. They're a child of God. They're a son. They're a daughter. But what they're not aware of, as we've said many times before, seriously hurts them. Because not knowing who they are in Christ, they cause problems and difficulties in their heart. Let's look at the identification of the Spirit and what happens when we don't know it. 1 John, and this is all introductions, all lead in to try to get us to understanding what it means to walk a Spirit-filled life. 1 John chapter 2, and I love reading the Apostle of Love. The Apostle John's the Apostle of Love, and he better than any other New Testament writer shows us the love of God for us and the love that Christ showed to us through Calvary. Watch what John says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. Okay, the anointing that you have received is the anointing. The King James earlier in this chapter calls this word unction. Okay, so if you're reading your King James, you see you have an unction of the Holy Spirit. That unction of that, by the way, that was verse 20. You have an unction of the Holy Ghost. The unction is the word anointing. You've been, and the word anointing is the Hebrew idea of smearing. Okay? To smear. Jesus smeared mud on the eyes of the man born blind. The Bible says he anointed his eyes with the mud. Remember when he spit on the ground? He anointed them means he took the mud and he smeared it across the man's eyes. The ark that Noah built, the Bible says, anoint it with pitch on the inside and the out. And that word there, anoint, was the same Hebrew word as, or that the word pitch was the same Hebrew word as atonement. Smear the atonement on the inside and the outside of Noah's ark. God must have been building that boat for more than water, right? That's a spiritual representation of your insides and being smeared over with the anointing. Here's that smearing in verse 27. The anointing which you've received of him, it abides in you. So look, no matter what happens in your life, what failures, what problems, what mud hole you roll into, there's a smearing that went on the inside that abides in you. But we don't all abide in that knowledge. Could we agree? Now, I hope everybody in this building abides in that knowledge, and I hope everybody listening by internet or CD abides in that knowledge. But we know for a fact that not every believer abides in that knowledge. Though the Holy Spirit has smeared their insides like the inside of Noah's Ark, they don't understand it, and because of that, we got people at times running out of the Ark. All right? Kind of running around, jumping in the water. And here's what John says about that. The anointing which you've received in him abides in you, and you don't need any man to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. This is a mind-blowing verse when it comes to churches and preachers and ministries that think you won't live right if you don't have law. Because John said, you have no need that any man teach you what truth is, because you've been smeared on the inside with the Holy Spirit. And if you'll listen from the day you get saved, the Holy Spirit will always lead and guide you into truth. Did you know the Holy Spirit will never lead and guide you into error? He'll always lead and guide you into truth. From the moment you get saved, he goes to work to lead and guide you into all truth. Now here's where we fall apart. 28. Now, little children, abide in him. Now I want you to note that in 27, the Holy Spirit abides in you, right? But in 28, John changes his tactic a little bit and says, now I want you to abide in him. Why? Before you read any further, here's what we often say. Well, if you don't abide in him, then you won't be righteous. If you don't abide in him, then you'll backslide and go to hell. If you don't abide in him, then God can't bless you. If you don't abide in him, God can't use you. Let's see what John thinks. Little children, abide in him, so that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Look at this. He already abides in you, so abide in him so that you'll never fear death or the rapture. Not because you need to fear it, but because so many of us live in a way in which we don't abide in the rest and the completion and the grace of Christ. We abide in religion where there's no rest at all, but all works. We don't have any confidence. Do you know how few Christians are confident? Confident in their salvation, confident in their faith, confident in their righteousness, confident in their healing? Very few. Not confident at all. They have no confidence at all. And John's saying, look, if you want confidence to know that you can face him the way he is, because he tells the church in the next two chapters, as he is, so are we in this world. Look, you know you're that way, so stay in it, rest in it, abide in it. So we've established that the Holy Spirit is in us. Let's keep ourselves in Christ. Remember what Jesus said. We'll not go back to that chapter in John 15, but we preached it just a few Sunday mornings ago, where Jesus stands in Jerusalem and he probably points up at the vine over the entrance to the temple, and he says, my Father's the husbandman, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Any branch that abides in me bringeth forth fruit. Branch that does not abide in me is cast forth and gathered together of men and burned. And we told you that scripture doesn't say that if you don't abide in the Lord, he sends you to hell. That scripture says if you don't abide in the Lord, men will have rights at you that they shouldn't have. But because you live so pitiful, because your fruit's so nasty, because the junk that emanates out of your life looks nothing like the righteousness of God that's supposed to be in you, men are going to have a field day with you. And it happens all the time. But we see people tearing up Christians for hypocrisy and for saying one thing and doing the other. And where do people get the right to do that? Because that's the presentation a lot of Christians are giving. They claim Christ on Sunday and they live like the devil on Monday. Are they the devil? No. Are they less righteous? No. They're sealed on the inside till the day of redemption. They've been smeared over on the inside with the anointing, but they don't act like it. And because they don't act like it, men burn them to death. That happens all the time. Peter would go on and write his little letter and say, look, if you get persecuted for Jesus Christ's sake, great. But if you get persecuted for any other reason, shame on you. Peter said, don't be busybody in other men's business. Don't put your nose where it don't belong. If people are cutting you down and mocking you for those things, Peter talked about using your liberty as an occasion of the flesh. And he said, if you're getting made fun of and mocked and cut and hurt and yelled at and screamed at and pushed on and hated on because of junk you're doing, quit doing it. If it's for Jesus Christ's sake, praise God. That was Peter. That was the early church's whole philosophy. Look, man, you're saved, but if you're gonna live this way, they're gonna cut you down. Don't come whining to the church that you're getting persecuted. If you're truly getting persecuted, shout about it. Praise God, because you're doing something right for God's grace and His finished work. See? So the Holy Spirit is doing His end of the deal, because He enters in, He seals you off, He seals you on the outside, He seals you on the inside. Let's learn to rest in that. We all got that. Okay? Every one of us that are believers, we've received it. And the day that you got saved, can you possibly believe that the Holy Spirit came in just a little bit? Or did He come in a lot? Okay? Now, and this is where my old time classic Pentecostal message began to stir and cause me problems with the message of grace. Because here's how the old time Pentecostal message says it. When you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. But as you go along, you should ask for more, because then He'll come in greater measure. And so what that is saying is that when you get saved, you only get so much. But then later, the Holy Spirit, if you'll beg and plead and tarry and cry and get hands laid on you, the Holy Spirit will come in, though reluctantly, He'll come in greater measure than ever before. And let me tell you how we Pentecostals sold it too. Say, now, if you, this hit me the other day. I thought, man, there's no wonder people didn't just get up and run out of the building. That's all we have time for. Thank you for listening to the message entitled Living the Spirit-Filled Life. If you'd like a copy of this message on one CD, we'll send it to you just for being a faithful listener. All you have to do is write us or call us, ask for it by the title, Living the Spirit-Filled Life. We'll continue it on tomorrow's program, and until then, this is Pastor Paul White saying, God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.